Blog Talk Radio.
I am me. I am who I am. I am who I'm gonna be. Walking in the spirit, moment by moment, fulfilling my own destiny. I am me. I am who I am. I am who I'm gonna be. Walking in the spirit, moment by moment, fulfilling my own destiny.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are in this great, big, vast world of ours. This is Purpose Talk Radio, and I am your host, Cindy Freeman. And today we are going to be talking to Cheryl DeNoble and on the topic of how my split apart helped me survive abuse. One of those deep subjects, and, you know, it's a little bit different from how we normally do the show, so I'm going to do a little bit different format when it comes to the actual interview phase, in part because I'm sitting in the same room with Cheryl, which is really different for me. So it's going to be different for both of us, I think. You know, normally I get to sit in front of my computer and look around at the sky and feel the wind and do all kinds of things like that, you know, and just not worry about what's going on around me because it's just me, myself, and I. So now we get to have both of us in the same place. So that'll be interesting today. So I would like to get a couple of informational pieces out of the way for you so that you can be a part of this show if you'd like, whether it be listening, chatting, asking questions, all those kinds of things that come to be what is part of Purpose Talk Radio. First of all, the song that you heard is called I Am Who I Am by the group True Trinity. That is, the vocalist was Jillian Clark. Then there is Rachel Martinez and myself, who are co-writes on that. And we do broadcast every Friday afternoon at 3 p.m. Pacific, noon Eastern, and 8 p.m. in the UK. Now, if you'd like to hear this as a archive, you can listen to it again at the same link where you found the show originally. There's a couple of ways that you can participate in this show. The first would be to join us in the chat room, which if you scroll down to the very bottom of this show page, there is a chat room that is open for you, and I'll try to keep that monitoring that as well. Then the other two places that you can participate with us is on the Facebook page, Purpose Talk Radio Conversations. At the very top of that page, there is a post pinned there, which is there whether we are archived or live, because as most people know who listen to Blog Talk Radio, when the show ends, the chat room ends. So we keep a chat room open over on Facebook. So feel free to type anything in there that resonates with you, any thoughts that you have, questions that you have. If you're a little bit timid on calling in, of course, we'd rather have you call in just because it makes it a little better for and a little easier for a discussion. Of course, the other way is to call in live, the phone number there being 347-205-9074. Again, 347-205-9074. And if you are on your computer, you can also Skype in at no cost on that as well. And whether you call or Skype in, please press the number 1 so that we know you do want to indeed talk to us. Otherwise, I will presume for the most part that you are just listening. At some point, if you are listening, I may try to pick it up and see if you are indeed wanting to talk. We do have one person sitting on the lines, and I'm going to presume at this point that that number is just parked there until I see any indication otherwise. So, having said that, now I think I've got all... Oh, yes, if you would like to be a guest on this show as well. And what we do is we have people who are sharing their life, their purpose, and know that they are living their purpose right now, whatever that means. That could be retirement, that could be, you know, pouring milkshakes at McDonald's, that could be the CEO of some Fortune million-dollar company. It does not matter. If you are living your purpose, you are living it. Simple as that. And you want to share with people how you came to know it, how you came to realize it, and anything they might be able to do to get to their purpose? I'd love to have you talk about it on the show. The simple way to get a hold of me is either through Facebook at the Purpose Talk Radio Facebook page or on my personal page, Cindy Freeman, or you can go to the website, which is purposetalkradio.com, PURPOSETALKRADIO.com, and send me a message through there or direct email Cindy, CINDY, at purposetalkradio.com. And last but definitely not least, if you have products or services that you'd like to share with people who are trying to live their purpose, we do have a marketing package available for you as well, and love to talk to you about that so that you can get what you have to offer to the world out to those who are listening to the show and who might need it to get to their purpose. And let me think here. I think that's all the housekeeping stuff I have in the moment. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to transfer this phone to a hands-free. So hopefully we can chat. Anybody in the chat room, please let me know how it sounds if you do, and hopefully we don't have too much background or feedback noise, because like I said, I'm trying something a little bit different here. So, all right, here we go. A little different format.
Hi, Cindy.
Hi, Cheryl. Welcome to Purpose Talk Radio. And
thank
this
you.
Nice homemade office studio.
I love it. Very cool.
Cool. So, like I say, normally what I do is I ask people, you know, how they came to know what their purpose is and what it is that they're doing. However, because this show kind of has to go back the other end, I don't know if you want to briefly, you didn't give me much of a bio about yourself, so as I just realized that. So if you want to tell us a little bit just about, you know, who you are, what you're doing, you know, in a half a dozen few sentences, I'd love to hear that rather than me introducing you. You know, I do know you through a spiritual community, you know, and that you've done some office work and things like that through the years. But other than that, I'll be real honest, I don't know too much. We just started talking about this issue and thought that, you know, getting through and surviving abuse is something that people really need out there. So I'd appreciate if you kind of tell us a little bit about who you are before we get too started.
Well, I was born a poor white child up north of Green Bay.
Green Bay, Wisconsin.
Green Bay, Wisconsin. I am a diehard Packer fan. I usually say that when people are born up in Green Bay, when they come out, their butt is stamped with Green Bay Packer fan on it. So you know that about me. I have been involved in many different spiritual organizations. I have also worked most of my life. I have done just about every kind of work except working in a factory. I have two daughters. I have two gorgeous grandsons. I don't know, Cindy, is that okay?
That works. That works well.
Right.
And now home is in the Milwaukee area.
Right. And I really love living down in this area. I still miss Green Bay, but I do like living down here. I like the variety. I love the versatility. I love seeing the many colors of the people that we have in this area. Plain white bread was what I saw growing up. So this to me is something wonderful. I love all different kinds of cultures and getting to know different cultures. And it's a respect issue for me that everyone has their own path. and I thoroughly enjoy the rainbow here.
Cool. Here at first I was thinking you're talking white bread, you're talking about the yeast of the beer in Milwaukee here.
No,
you know?
It's the beer and the cheese.
No, exactly. But we are talking about people and fashions and
right.
Yes, there you go.
Exactly.
All of that in there. Okay, I'm just checking. Yes, we need to move closer to the microphone, according to one of our guests in the room. So
is that better?
We'll find out. We do know that we have Cheryl Hinckley on the line looking around, and Cheryl's been a great supporter of this program for many years and has worked the studio a couple of times when Jan was here. Jan and Barbara were around, and so it's great to have her be able to listen live for us today. So hopefully, welcome Cheryl, Sharon, and I think I just called her Cheryl too. No, Sharon. oh Lord, too many she's around here today. So hopefully we're there. We've got, just so that I'm going to, I know for me, myself and I on this, I'm going to, because of the subject matter on this today, anybody that might be listening and know, having the experience of abuse or knowing people, I know this is a heavy subject. And so I'm just going to ask people to just shut their eyes for a second. And it's, one of the things that I need to do, too, very often on this, so that we are not taking in each other's energy, and that we are able to deal with our own as we go through this. Just shut your eyes for a second and just take in three deep breaths, and with each of those, release them and breathe out as thoroughly as you can, anything that might be swaying or encumbering being able to hear the message of today's show and or anything that you are dealing with so that you feel in a safe place. And if you wish, even as you breathe out, picture yourself being in a white light, a covering of protection of sorts. Okay. Okay, I guess what we're going to do, we're going to do this a little differently, a little different background, because the way I feel and why I feel about this subject, we did a several years ago when Jan was around, we did a series for people, and I don't think we're going to do a series this time, but who knows what it turns into. I never know what spirit leads in this show. First of all, if we talk about anything on the spiritual side, again, I offer people to choose the words that fit you. God, Father, Mother, Spirit, Tree, whatever works for you, please feel free to change as it fits. As they say, take what you hear, accept what you want, and leave the rest. And whatever is useful to you, I bless and hopefully share that with you. So, having said that, Cheryl, I know you've got a very in-depth story that we don't want to, we don't want to give all the details to exactly, but there's been emotional, spiritual, sexual abuse involved in all of this. My understanding is this started back when you were a very small child.
10 years old.
10, okay. And as much as you're willing to tell us what transpired, and then we can go into, your support system, if there was any, all that kind of stuff. So in as much as you'd like to share.
Well, I think what I want to share, hopefully, is a message of hope that there is a light at the end of the tunnel if people have gone through sexual, physical, mental, and emotional abuse, especially when they're children. I was abused sexually by my then stepfather beginning when I was 10 years old. I didn't know what was going on. I was told that if I said anything to anybody, that my mother would be hurt, beat up, whatever. So you have a little 10-year-old kid who doesn't even, who is so scared and doesn't know what else to do except what she was told. I didn't know. All I knew was that I was hurting. I was also made to feel badly about myself. And that's when something happened to me, and why I call in, I don't call it a split personality. It really wasn't a split personality. It was a split apart. That was my coping mechanism. I don't know if anyone has ever had that kind of an issue, but basically what would happen to me when I just couldn't take what was going on is that I would basically just something else, someone else would take over. And I know that's hard to understand, but it's probably the only way that I can explain it. The reason that I finally, after many years, realized that that was going on was because my siblings would be telling me about something that happened or something I did, and I had no memory of it, whatever. All of this information and everything that was happening to me went on from the age of 10 until the age of 18. At that point, I left home. One of my girlfriends and a few of my other friends took me to my home. I took my stuff out of there when this person was not home. Took all my stuff, got out. He saw us leaving, and he came after us. And because I had a girlfriend who was a very good driver, she should have been in the Indy 500, we got away from him. And at that point, I came into the apartment that evening. I looked in the mirror, and all of a sudden, my world started spinning and spinning and spinning. And I don't remember absolutely anything for 3 months. I was gone. But I was still functioning. And I know that because I had girlfriends that said, you went to work, you did this, you did that, you said this, you said that. I had no memory. Now, the one thing, these memories did not really start coming out until probably about 5 years. And then I started getting flashbacks. I didn't know at that time that it was called PTSD. All I knew was that I had flashbacks.
Okay, let me back up just a little bit on this. You know, just so that, you know, at the time, you know, you've got family, hopefully, I don't know if you have brothers, sisters, mom, whatever, you know, you said you couldn't tell them, but what,
you know, I guess I want to say a 10-year-old kid, yeah, you don't know what's going on, but did you recognize at that point that there was something wrong in that, or was this guy that persuasive, you know, that persuasive that he could just say, well, this is what girls do with their stepfathers, or, you know, if we've heard some of that scenario out there. You know, did you have anybody that you could have gone to in hindsight at this point, or was it that scary of a situation?
There was no one. There was no one I could go to. There was no one I could trust. There was no one anywhere I couldn't trust. It was Catholic at that time. I could not trust the priest. He was a man. There was no one. There was no adult anywhere for me. So I was on my own. And the only thing that I kept saying when I was a kid was I would look in the mirror and I'd say, got to be something else better. There has to be something better than this. That's what kept me going. And that's where I think a lot of my strength and my attitude comes from. I've been called Pollyanna for years because I have a positive outlook on life. And that's what I worked on for a long, long time. I mean, as these flashbacks came, I found there were more and more issues that I just didn't know how to handle. Thank goodness for therapy and working with people. Finally, when I finally left, and it was this is hard, so please forgive me if I kind of stumble. It wasn't until I did finally leave that home that I could start on the way of healing. But I have to tell you the most horrible thing about that situation once I ran away from home, let's say it that way, is that I did go to the police and I did press charges against this person. And I want you to think back. This was happening, and I'm going to give away my age a little. This was happening in the late 60s, early 70s. I sat in a room with two male police officers explaining what had happened. And the one reason that I could go to the police and that I had blanked out for a long time was because I had become pregnant. I had a boyfriend. We were intimate. I had become pregnant, figured that was my way out. And at that point, this man got extremely angry. And we were driving back home. It was like 50 miles between Green Bay and where we were going. And I got beat up, literally beat up, hit in the stomach, hit in the face, head bounced against the side windows, screamed, hollered, yelled at, punched in every way you can think of for 50 miles. When I came home, my mother basically did nothing. I blanked out, split apart, took over. Except that I had a miscarriage a few days later. And one thing I distinctly remember when my mother took me to the hospital because my boss from work said, you got to come here and do something. I remember waking up in my room and hearing someone outside the door talking to my mother going, how long are you going to let this go on? And then I went blank again. So, my life, and that part of what I remembered and slowly remembered, it took, I would say, about 20 years to come to terms with what had happened to me. I didn't forgive him. That was very hard for me to do because basically I felt he ruined my life. It wasn't until he died and I prayed. I just prayed all the time that somehow all of these bad feelings would go away, because they didn't all go away, not all at once.
I'm going to take a risk here. Can you attempt to, okay, you're talking about bad feelings, the anger, I don't want to really stir things up, but is there any way that you can, what did it feel like when your split apart took over versus what did it feel like when you were in your regular skin? And then second part of that is how is a split apart different from a split personality?
All right. Let me see if I can. You're going to have to jog my memory if I forget all the questions. How I knew, and again, it took a long time to figure out, but how I knew that I had a split apart, first of all, was when I did look in the mirror. I remember that whenever I would look in the mirror after the abuse happened, I would get a swirl in the mirror, and then I wouldn't remember anything until, I don't know, days, weeks, whatever, and I would come back. And my defense mechanism was that split apart. And I don't remember what that person did, except that I know they took over and they covered me and tried to keep me from remembering. And I think that's probably the only way that I can explain it. But it was my defense. One of the things that I also do and figured out is that I can be an extremely positive Pollyanna person. I can laugh and joke, and I can be helpful to other people, even though I was hurting, because I didn't want to acknowledge that hurt that was coming through. Is that answering your question so far?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So when you were in this situation, I remember when I was 10 years old, sort of, we're talking like fifth grade or so, the beginning of middle school for some kids. For me, it was just all elementary school till eighth grade, I was a kid. My main concern was going out and playing, and even through 18, high school was trying to fit in, and what do I do? What clubs do I want to be in? I suppose like any teenager, I didn't necessarily want to be hanging around home a lot. So I could understand that you wanted to get away from home or whatever, and not be around that person, or your mom for that, point. But, so what kind of, what did you do to avoid, or could you even avoid this person at all? How did he keep it away from your mom? And so.
Well, my split apart is my avoidance. My favorite thing to do, we lived on a farm way out in the middle of godforsaken nowhere, and I would head toward, there was a creek, and that's where I would head out into the woods and find the creek and just sit there and pray. Even at that age, I really didn't know that's what I was doing. But I would. I would pray, just please, why is this happening? I don't understand. I don't understand. And then I would just blank it out. It'd be gone.
So I really did not. I was working. I was babysitting. I was working by the time I was 15 and a half. So, no, I never went to the prom. The only thing that I was involved in was choir, because at one time I had a beautiful high soprano voice. Singing was my outlet. My sisters and brothers can tell you that they could only listen to one radio station, and that played all the popular music, and the Beatles were my favorite group. Music and out in the woods were my sanctuaries. But to get away from him, no. It was very difficult. It's only when he wasn't there. And then what made it worse, how it could happen all the time, was because my mother started working in a hospital as a nurse's aide, and she worked the midnight shift. Hello. And there wasn't much I could do. There were so many times that when my mom would get ready to leave, I would just hug her and hug her and hug her and ask her not to leave, but she never asked why. She just said, I have to go to work, you know, and that was it, and I knew what was going to happen after she left. And then one day, I guess I can start talking about this, and I want you to know, first of all, that this part of the abuse, I really didn't recognize until about 2 years ago. I had totally blocked out the part my mother played in everything that was going on. Now remember, this has been going on, that had been going on since I was 10. And at some point when I was a teenager, she found out what was going on. But instead of blaming him, doing something about him, she got mad at me. She hit me. I was getting hit from both of them. And I blocked that out. I hope you can understand how devastating that would be. The one person that you think would protect you would be your mother. As I said, just recently I started working on that. It just started bubbling up and came out. I really had to look at the time, at that time, what the time was like. This was, again, in the 60s, 50s and 60s. At that particular point in time, children and wives were pretty much thought of as possessions. I had 5 brothers and sisters, of which I was the oldest, and I believe that my mother just didn't know what to do. If she left him, first of all, I think she was scared to death that he would hurt her and or the children, myself included. She didn't know. I don't think she knew how she was going to survive trying to raise 6 children on her own. And it was a different era. And people did what they had to do to survive. And that's how I think. And I know that, I know now that she was doing the best that she could to survive and to take care of myself and the other children. She didn't protect me, though. And that was the hardest thing for me to swallow when it all came came out to me this last couple of years, that was the biggest thing.
Are you all blood brothers and sisters?
No, I only have one blood full brother. These were half brothers and sisters that my mother had with the stepfather. So the good news is I was the only one that was abused, which I am very grateful and thankful for, that none of my other sisters were abused like I was. So in that respect, I'm very grateful and I'm very thankful. So that was the biggest thing. The only way my mom could express her anger was to get rid of me, because she felt helpless and afraid of this man. So now I understand. After all these years, I understand now why she did what she did. The hardest thing, even harder than it was to forget this to forgive this person, was forgiving my mom for not protecting me. And I finally had to say, to make myself whole, I finally had to say to my mom, I forgive you. It was easier to forgive him than it was to forgive my mother. And that's why it has taken 40-some years to say, Mom, I forgive you. I understand and I forgive you.
Why do you think it was easier to forgive him than your mom? I mean, were you able to ever sort that out? I mean, on the one hand, I can kind of understand that, you know, he was, like, in the forefront, and he wasn't blood, and, you know, kind of like kicking him to the curb more than probably forgiving him at first, versus your mom that's still around, that's still in the family, and all that kind of stuff. But did you ever have a sense of why that was easier to forgive him than your mom?
Well, number one, I really didn't even think about forgiving him, until he died. That made it a little easier, but I knew for myself, because he was the perpetrator for all those years. Remember, it was 8 years. He was the perpetrator, but now he was dead. He couldn't hurt me or my children. I felt a sense of relief when I found out. But then I also remembered that in order for me to heal, I needed to forgive him. And at that point, I had no recollection, again, of what my mother had done and how she had treated me. That's why that took many, many years to forgive her. And I do. I love her to death. She's a very funny lady. She is, she's in an assisted living, but she's still going and doing. I thank God that I had that part of her personality that lets me be funny and sassy and positive. And also, in some of the work I did, I was a case manager for many years, working with people who had emotional, physical, mental disabilities. Working with people who had given up on themselves, working with people who had no direction, working with people that were hurting. young women, older women, giving up. And we would talk about their story and how they had been abused. And a lot of times not even as much or as difficult as I was, but had basically given up and said, because of this, I have a mental disability, so I'm not going to go on. Well, I had gone on. I finished high school. I went to college. I worked. I worked hard. And I even owned my own business for a while. I had a weight loss business for a few years. I have been a case manager. I've been a trainer. I have been a motivator for other people because that's my gift. And that gift came from what my experiences has been. I truly, truly believe that. That because of, and again, I have come to terms with it just in the last few years, my gift is to help people in some way find out that there is something better that's going to happen with your life. I strongly, strongly believe in that. Because if I didn't believe it, I would be sitting in a corner sucking on my thumb somewhere in a padded cell, something like that. Strength. And that strength I knew came from my strong belief in a power greater than myself. So I think when I look back and see what I've done, I think I've done pretty good. Right now, I'm kind of semi-retired and doing some volunteer work at my church, which I dearly love, but I really need to find a new job, and I want to be a happy, sassy little receptionist, administrative assistant, just enjoy people and share my joy because I'm alive. I'm still alive. I could have rolled over and died. My purpose is to be alive, to be a blessing, to smile, to say hello, to listen when someone needs to talk. Just be there. That's my joy. That's my purpose. And I'm so, I don't want to say that I'm glad I went through it. I wouldn't wish this on my worst enemy, but thank God for the strength that I was given to get where I am today.
Yeah, I wouldn't wish that on anybody either. You know, and again, I can't, honestly, I can't even imagine it. That's one of those things where, you know, I hear about men and women that sexually abuse their kids. And I can't even fathom it. You know, I think of my nephews. Now, yeah, they're, what's he going to be, 20 and 16, 17, and the little six-year-old now. If I found out that somebody was abusing him, I don't know what I would possibly do. I might find the person, and, you know, that's one of those times where I would really consider killing somebody or maiming them or doing something, you know, not so nice. That, you know, this semi-mild-mannered person would not be so much so in that case. You know, so it's kind of hard for me to fathom a mom being able to brush it aside and still survive. And at the same time, you know, I guess I think that maybe she probably, it was probably the only way that she could handle it was to, you know, dealing with her own emotions and stuff was to kind of push it aside. You know, one of the comments, you know, from Sharon in our, on our Purpose Talk Radio Conversations page, which is also our chat room of sorts, you know, basically, it was interesting that the only way that Cheryl's mother could express the anger was by getting rid of her. You know, and I guess you know, there's a piece of me when I heard that too. I thought, well, okay, at least she didn't really slap you up anymore. And, you know, it's like, okay, you know, time to go. You know, and at the same time, actually, you ended up leaving it running, as you said, with your friends, as opposed to her really just saying, get out of here. You know, and it's just, they say those things are just unconscionable to me. But, you know, you hear people, you know, they abuse children and animals and their spouses and all this all the time. And even when I hear it in the news, I, you know, want to go to somebody and go, you know, you don't belong here. I don't know. That's just one of me. And that's part of why, you know, I thought this show was so important to have it and go through the scenario a little bit and what can be done. You know, if you're in that situation, there are many, many, many resources out there now. Right. Back then, there weren't. You know, there are shelters. There is protection. You know, I know a little bit, that, you know, no contact orders are really not all that useful. You know, and I've heard that time and again, too. You know, you issue those and, well, you know, if the person comes around and the cop, and you can get the cops there fast enough, then, you know, fine. If you can't, it might be too late. You know, but there are other places where you can go to get out and be safe and into shelters and, you know, have people that will escort you to and from work if you need to, so that you can carry on your everyday as much as possible tasks and live and do what you need to do to survive and hopefully even thrive in spite of the situation. And I know it's not easy. I don't ever say that it's easy. I would presume that it's not even simple. So, you know, if you've got that, I do have some resources from our previous shows. There is a group on Facebook, a private group, that does help some folks with abuse. If you're interested in connecting with that, please make sure you do get an email to me, and I'd be happy to connect you to that. Again, if you have questions for our guests, please, for Cheryl or me or anybody else, want to share your experiences, please do give us a call at 347-205-9074. Again, 347-205-9074. Okay, so next piece of this, I guess, if there is one. Mm-hmm. So what did you do with, you know, you said you struggled a little bit with other relationships after you're 18. Okay, you get out of the house, you make this guy disappear to the extent that you can out of your life, even though he's still around. You know, then it's dealing with, I guess, some of the mental aspects of it and finding your way to some sort of relationship. You mentioned that, you know, here's one that it would I'd struggle with. You got this guy basically abusing you, and then you get into a relationship with someone. I'm sorry, I probably wouldn't even want him touching me. You end up getting pregnant. I'll be real honest, I'd probably be freaking out. I wouldn't want anybody near me. So if you're willing to go to that a little bit here.
Sure. Yeah, we can talk about that. And again, a lot of it has to do with how I began to deal with things, where there wasn't so much of a split apart after I left home. But I could change my personality and know it in a heartbeat. So, yes, I did have a boyfriend. I am just a wonderful flirt. I love flirting with guys. It is my favorite thing to do. But remember, I had been what they now call highly sexualized because of what happened. So for me, I would be in a relationship that was the way it was supposed to be. This is what a relationship is supposed to be, not that horrid situation that I had been in. So yeah, it was, I don't know how to say better or what, to be in a relationship with someone I felt safe with or felt I loved.
Okay, I guess it does make sense, because then it gives you a way to bury all those other feelings and stuff with one that is supposed to be what it's supposed to be. Okay, that makes some sense.
But however, I still had a very skewed way of thinking about relationships. I'll just say it. My relationships were based on sex. When I married my first husband, the reason I married my first husband, pure and simple, was so that I could change my name and not have the same name as I did, so that hopefully I wouldn't get found. We moved out of the Green Bay area up to Rhinelander. Very cold, very out in the middle of godforsaken nowhere at that particular time, which was the 70s.
which is the top of the state.
Yeah. Yes, it's way up there. But anyway, that was it. He was nice. He was sweet. But he couldn't hold a job to save his life. And after 12 years, I finally came to the realization that he was never going to be able to do that. And along the way, I have to be truthful and say I did have a couple of affairs again because of what happened to me. That's not unusual from what I have found out. So, but I got two beautiful children out of the relationship, so that was pretty cool. The second marriage, I just thought he had the greatest eyes. He was about 18 years older than I was. He was very sweet, very kind. Upper middle class. I'd never been middle class at all. and he was, but he did have a dark side. He was a very prejudiced man. He is now, after doing a lot of reading, he was basically a dry alcoholic. His father was an alcoholic, but he behaved and held a lot of anger for his father and also for his first wife, and he wouldn't let go of it. He was not a man that could forgive. But he was good to me. Up to a certain point, he was insanely jealous. And again, because of what I had gone through, I'm not trying to make excuses for myself in any way. But I did have some affairs when we were married. My mother adored him. Of course, he wasn't that much younger than she was. That might have had something to do with it. And she thought he was the greatest thing since sliced bread, and I had really finally, you know, done something really good. Well, unfortunately, after 20 years, there were more things we agreed to disagree on than we agreed on, and we divorced. And this was a big part of my mother's anger also that I had to work through. She was extremely angry at me once again for divorcing him. She just didn't understand. I tried to talk to her about it, and she wouldn't listen. So I had to bury that again. And again, that was something that came up. And finally, I had to say, okay, Mom, this is really what happened. You didn't want to listen before, but this is what happened. And I forgive you for not liking me when we got divorced. It takes two to make a marriage. It takes two to break a marriage. And I did tell her that I do forgive her, and I did forgive her for the way that she acted toward me. So insanity runs in my family, and I felt like I was a little insane. And again, that was my coping mechanism, to be funny and silly, and the other thing was positive. I could turn my emotions on and off and put them into a compartment in my head. I did that once with somebody and scared the heck out of them. I was sitting and talking to someone when I had my business, and phone rang, picked it up. It was someone who needed some support, understanding, sympathetic ear to listen. I did that. And then I turned around to him and said, well, now, where were we with our conversation? And he just looked at me. His eyes got really big, and he's like, okay, who are you and what happened? That's what I would do to cope. Those kinds of things.
Well, okay, yeah, I've seen that sarcastic side of you. Not, yeah, just a little bit around here. So I guess I can understand that. I think the one question that I did ask, and I'm not sure that we really went into it all that much, the difference between the split apart, as you say, versus what is called, you know, an alter ego or a split personality. Is there really a difference, and why is this a choice that you've made? Has it, you know, got the psychological diagnosis per se, and what's the difference between the two? Is there a difference, or is it just a calmer way of calling it a split personality, I guess?
Well, I think the way to explain it for me, it really wasn't a split personality. If anybody's ever seen Sybil or the Three Faces of Eve, that person did not remember or integrate, as it were, personalities that they had. It took a lot for them to do that. The only way that I can explain it for me was that it was like I had compartments or file drawers, something like that, in my head. And there was this compartment for this person and these types of memories. And then there was another compartment that had these memories and these feelings. And it was like having a great big old file cabinet with drawers. And that's where my split apart, and why I call it my split apart, because the split apart was in a different file cabinet. It was split apart from my file cabinet. And this file cabinet was what held all those bad memories and all those things I had to come to terms with. That's where I put them. That's how my split apart helped me cope. I would just put them away. There's this file drawer. Those file drawers were locked. Some of them would start to open, but many of them were locked until I would have to say late 20s, early 30s, that they really started coming out. I had flashbacks, horrible flashbacks. and finally came to understand what post-traumatic stress disorder was before they called it PTSD. But that's what happened. It was horrible flashbacks. But I have to say one thing when I'm thinking about that and why this all came about and why I now understand there was this, it wasn't another person, it was me, but I got, one of us got locked away for a little while. So we weren't really split. I guess that's the only way I can explain it, is that one person went in the closet for a while, and then the other one came out. But it really wasn't, I've never been diagnosed as a split personality. I didn't really integrate anything, because once I started remembering everything, then I could see where that happened. And whatever happened with the split apart, as I said, I know I haven't got a great memory, but I don't remember a lot of things that happened to me growing up.
Does that make sense?
Okay. Yeah, I guess that makes some sense.
I feel like I'm babbling.
not babbling. No, that works. Let's see. So you went through the forgiveness process with your family. Let's jump it ahead now, because I think we've given more than enough background on things of that. It's fine. And once again, I'll throw out there, if anybody's listening, you can dial in 347-205-9074. Press the number 1 if you want to talk to us. If you are in the chat room, feel free to make comments and or go on to Purpose Talk Radio Conversations on Facebook and comment there. Because we do have a few people in the chat room. One just dropped off. One of the comments from one of our listeners, Linda, it's great to have you there, is, you know, it's basically wonderful to hear how your life's so positive now and how you know you have a gift because of the struggles and challenges you came through. So thank you for commenting on that. You know, and that's exactly, I guess, it. You know, one of the things that I try to do with this show and try to do with everything is try to find a positive angle out of it. You know, like you say, you wouldn't wish any of that upon your worst enemy. Although sometimes, I do have to admit, there are times where that little light kind of creeps in of, you know, what can we do to make them suffer as much as, you know, they had others suffer. You know, but okay, I get that. And, you know, so we do try to find the positive angle. And I think one of the positive things that has come out of this for Cheryl is, you know, the ability to forgive and learn how to forgive and find her own strength in moving forward. And I guess, you know, some of us go through, you know, 12-step programs, support groups, whatever. So what to move for? I mean, psychological counseling is one thing. What were you able to do? Was there a specific process or a resource or something that you used to be able to go through that forgiveness process, both with your mom, your stepfather, your siblings who didn't really know anything about this? You know, for me, my brother, I'd go, why didn't I tell him? Because he might have beat the you-know-what out of dad. Or, you know, what? But, you know, if nobody knew about it, you know, so what was the process you were able to go through and or the resources that you used to be able to go through that forgiveness process?
The biggest thing that I did that was for me was my strong belief in God. Also, my strong belief in his angels. I know there's a reason this happened to me, but I also know down that there were angels around me, that God was there. And I knew I could pray I didn't understand why things didn't just happen like that to take me out of the situation until much later. But I do have a strong belief in God that helped me through. And in, oddly enough, my strong belief in God is what finally led me to go to a psychiatrist, therapist, and work through the things that were going on. It wasn't, I didn't go. Again, I was too ashamed. I was too scared. I felt guilty. I had all these horrible negative emotions that I didn't deal with. And they finally could help me see what was going on. My belief in God and that He and my angels were the ones that drew me toward the healing that I needed to do. Now, I am also a very stubborn person, and I am sure that it probably, the reason some things took so long was because I wasn't listening to God, or I thought I knew better, which I didn't. But I know that He still protected me. I know that my angels surrounded me, covered me. That's the one reason I believe that I am as strong as I am. That is the one reason I believe I did not commit suicide. I could have. I was taking enough medication, I could have killed myself 7 times. But I didn't. And that's what I say every day. Thank you, God, for giving me another day to live and to be a blessing, no matter if it's to a person, a dog, plant, whatever. Thank you for letting me be a blessing. I'm blessed to be blessed.
Okay, as she hands the phone back over to me, as I was typing into the chat room. And you are a blessing, Cheryl.
Thanks.
Definitely.
Thanks.
So, I met Cheryl about, 3 months ago, maybe?
No more than that.
No more than that, maybe 6 months ago? She's just nodding on that, and it's been cool. And, and honestly, a lot of people I know use laughter as a cover-up. So I never know what to make of sarcasm, especially when people match mine. That's because I know I use it as cover-up as well in awkward situations. So I was like, okay, let's see. There's more behind this scene than is obvious. So, I appreciate you sharing your story with us. I think at this point I am at the point where I've covered everything I wanted to have covered in this. I'm not seeing anybody exactly calling in, which is good on the one level. That means we've probably covered it all as well. So what I would, like to put out there is, I'm going to hand it back to you again, and if there's anything that you do want as a wrap-up and or any way for people to contact you, if you want them just to contact you through the show or through the Facebook page, let us know that, and that's fine, because we don't want the privacy. Obviously, we do have you tagged on the show page and the Purpose Talk Radio conversations, but if there's something, I'd be happy to relay that. But let us know how you'd like us to contact you, and if there's any final things you'd like to say.
I think the easiest way for everyone is just contact me through Facebook. Whatever Cindy said, I don't remember. I apologize. Here's the one thing I want to leave all of you with. Strength comes from within. I know that now. I also now thank God that there are more services and options for people than there were when I was a kid. When I would counsel with some of my clients, that's where I would lead them to and give them those options. It was up to them to walk through the door. But you have options now. So if anyone is experiencing anything like I experienced, go to the resources. Find the resources. But I guess the biggest thing I want to tell you is that remember you're stronger than you think you are. It may take you a while to know that. But just remember you're stronger than you think you are. You are a child of God or whatever higher power that you believe in. You are protected. You are loved. You are good. Remember that. And thank you so much for giving me the opportunity to share with you. It was kind of scary. I do have to tell you, I was thinking of ways to tell Cindy I didn't want to do it. But it seemed like I was being led to do this today, and I appreciate all of you. Please take care. And if you know of someone else that may benefit from what's been talked about today, pass it on. You may be saving a life.
Yeah, I think we just got our affirmation for the day. I'm going to take it out exactly from what Cheryl just said, which is, I am protected, I am loved, I am good. And that is the very simple. I always try to leave our listeners with affirmations. And Cheryl just gave it to us right off of that. And it's like, I was just starting to type the word affirmation into our conversations page, our conversations group. And I'm like, oh, what do we do? Okay. Thank you, God. Thank you, Spirit, for passing that on. And thank you, Cheryl, for being a part of the show today. Yeah, I know that is a rough subject to talk about. And, I'm nowhere near, I've got some issues and nowhere near wanting to talk about reveal or whatever for various reasons. I know one of the things that you did do that we didn't cover, and that's fine, writing a letter to your family that you did send. And that's one of the things that is suggested a lot of times with trauma and family, and sometimes to just write it, not send it, or to burn it. Those are various ways of coping and dealing with whatever trauma you've gone through in your life.
Yes, that was something I did with him.
And after, she just said after he had died, the letter went to the family of this is what happened. Just in case you didn't know, which was probably more with the siblings, and mom, here's, this is what it was. If you decide you're trying to avoid it, this was the truth. So, things like that are, those are troublesome. I had something go on with my family, and I wrote a letter, and the reaction was pretty much similar to what Cheryl has told me happened with her family. There's just no response. Mine was so, to make you feel better? Yep. Okay, there you go. Kind of let it go. And it's more for us as survivors of various things to get that out, get that emotional stuff out, and to start over and know that there is a way to start anew. And to, like Cheryl said too, we don't forget the experience. We don't let it happen to us again. But we have to forgive the people for what they thought they knew at the time. In the case of like mom, there is definitely something wrong with those that do mentally, physically, emotionally abuse someone else, take out their anger on the world. And we can't control anybody else's emotions or what they do. We can only control ourselves, how we react to what happens around us. If that means bury it for a while, fine. If that means, you know, go beat up a pillow or a wall or yell at somebody, you know, we have to do that. If that means just getting out of the situation, hopefully that's the best solution, and that you are able to do that. Again, you know, there are a lot of resources out there for folks who are in abusive situations, at whatever level they are, to be able to get you out and get you someplace safe, and someplace where you can find yourself again, and where you really can, as the affirmation is, you know, I am protected, I am loved, I am good, and you can start feeling that again rather than just having it be I forget what the words are that I wanted to, you know, having it just be words that come out of your mouth. So I thank you all for listening this week. If you wish to hear the show again, the archive is at the same link where you heard the original show. I thank a couple of guests that popped in here, including Sharon Hinckley and Linda Lambert, and were able to make comments, even though they did not choose to call in at that point. There are places for you to comment it on the Facebook group Purpose Talk Radio Conversations, if you'd like to do that. Thank you, Nudges, for being in the chat room as well. So anyone, again, that wants to listen to this, you're welcome to do that and put in some comments in our chat room. I've put a couple of them in there for you. We do air every Friday at 3 p.m. Pacific time, noon on the East Coast, and 8 p.m. in the UK. If you'd like to get a hold of me directly to be a guest, know who could be a great guest for us, and that being anyone who is living their purpose and wants to share with us how they came to understand what it is, how they came to get to that, and, of course, best thing of any suggestions you might have for other people as they get into their trying to live their purpose. I do thank Sharon also for playing, as she just put it, a little bit of sound engineer and letting us know how this sounds, because this was very different to be doing this show with my guests and myself from the same location. Normally I get to be by myself, and this is an internet radio, so we can do the show from anywhere and everywhere. I started saying, if you'd like to get a hold of me, you can go to the website, purposetalkradio.com, purposetalkradio.com. My direct email is Cindy, C-I-N-D-Y, at purposetalkradio.com. We have a Facebook page. We have a website. The website's a little bit out of date, but the website is there. We have a marketing package for anyone who wants to share your products or services with those who are trying to live their purpose. Having said all of that, we do need guests. We do have a couple of guests lined up for this summer. Looking for more now that school is out, I have the time to focus on getting us all some wonderful guests. The theme song for this show is called I Am Who I Am by the group True Trinity, being the vocalist Jillian Clark, as well as writers of Jillian, Rachel Martinez, and myself. So with all of that and this wonderful week, until next week, I wish you all soul blessings.
I am me, I am who I am who I'm gonna be. Walking in the spirit moment by moment, fulfilling my own destiny. I am me, I am who I am who I'm gonna be. Walking in the spirit moment by moment, fulfilling my own destiny. Walking in the spirit moment by moment, fulfilling my own destiny. Walking in the spirit moment by moment, fulfilling my own destiny.